Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Real World IT. As you can see, we are showing our Seahawks pride today. Go Hawks.
12s.
Go 12s. 12th Man Magic is alive and well here in Redmond, Washington. And so as we are as excited as we are about the Super Bowl game, we're also excited about the things that are happening here on campus. And I'm extremely honored to have with me a guest today who has a long history in the mobility space. And he agreed to come out and talk with us today about a lot of the changes that are happening in mobility from an IT pro and developer perspective. So I'm happy to introduce to all of you Brad Graziadio. And
hello.
Brad, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm glad that you could be here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is such a volatile space, I think is the way that I would, the word that I might use. So many changes happening. And, you know, our audience is both developers mm-hmm. and IT pros.
Right.
I really want you to share with them the things that they should be thinking about and the things that we're doing here that okay. are helping us to navigate this space. So, yeah. But first, how long have you been at Microsoft?
Almost 20 years.
Oh, that's so impressive.
I've been in the industry since 1979.
Oh.
I joined Microsoft IT in 2009 to work on mobile-optimized websites for Microsoft.com. And when Windows Phone 7 launched, I had the opportunity to start developing and assisting with the publishing of line of business apps for Windows Phone. When Windows 8.1 and 8.0 came out, we extended the work that I was doing into those platforms. And so we kind of think less mobility, but more modern apps that span the whole spectrum of devices, from the desktop PCs to large PPI devices that you have in lobbies, all the way down to your phones that you hold in your hand.
That's
so we span the whole thing.
That's amazing.
End to end.
It's extremely complicated, and I know that we're moving forward to simplifying that for users.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, you know, if I'm an IT pro out there trying to navigate this for my enterprise, what do you believe are their top concerns, and how are we dealing with it here at Microsoft?
Well, I think from an IT pro perspective, there are a lot of concerns because the disruption that bring your own device and mobility and the new app models are bringing are totally disruptive.
Mm-hmm.
If you can think about it, we went from just a few years ago to a very planful, waterfall-based approach to developing apps into this very agile model. And the technologies underneath all of this have been changing. When I started in 2009 on mobile websites, there was no responsive web.
Right.
And yet, now that is the technology that people gravitated to. The browsers on the devices have gotten a lot better, and therefore keeping up with that pace of change has been really challenging just from a technology perspective. So it cuts at every layer in the IT organization, from the way you plan, to the way you budget, to the way you develop.
That's so true. I think the velocity of change in each of those segments
mm-hmm.
and the skill sets that we have to develop, right? How are we dealing with these new skills that we need and really helping people get through those phases? I think it's very complicated to me.
That's a great question. And I think that the industry as a whole is kind of grappling with those sort of challenges and the complicated nature of it. Because if you look at mobile device management just alone, you need to be able to distribute your applications, you need to be able to update them, but in order to trust the devices, you have to be able to push policies, you have to be able to push configurations. Am I allowing VPN access? How do I configure email? There are a lot of moving parts that an IT organization has to manage in order to really feel good and secure about being able to put apps onto a user's devices. And the technology that we've had has steadily improved. That's the really cool part, be it from the operating system or from Microsoft Intune, seeing the progression that we go through has been really exciting. And the rate of change there keeps accelerating, but so do the capabilities that kind of be able to allow us to keep pushing forward.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely. How do you think Microsoft IT has embraced this challenge, and what do you see? I mean, obviously we're inside IT, so every day we're dealing with this, right? But help our audience understand what we're doing from an operational perspective to embrace these changes and how we're handling these issues.
Well, counterintuitive, the place that we actually started was with application publishing.
Yeah.
What we did and what we realized is that the model for application developers out there has changed. When Apple introduced the iTunes Store and Windows embraced it with the Windows Store, there is a new paradigm that developers follow, where they have a dev center that they're expected to go to submit their application.
Mm-hmm.
Those applications have to meet certain certification requirements in order to be published. If they don't, they get rejected. And what we did internally was we took advantage of that paradigm. Really, developers had an expectation that if I submitted something that there would be rules applied. So it was an opportunity for us to go out, and Microsoft is a very distributed development shop.
Right. We're all maybe developers.
Well, it's maybe a little atypical of most organizations,
right.
But we take a lot of advantages of the fact that we have a large number of software developers, and MCS develops their apps, Microsoft IT develops apps, et cetera. But we were able to consolidate that to a single publishing process. And of the 100 or so teams that were already developing apps, not a single one really complained, because the expectation was already set because of the way the public dev centers and the public marketplaces work. So that was the first step of IT being able to consolidate this activity across the modern app development and mobile applications.
It represents such an evolution mm-hmm. of policy and mindset,
right.
And the fact that no one actually complained about it is always pretty amazing. I know that we've had content about this in the IT Institute, so mm-hmm. for those of you who are interested in more of a deep dive on that subject, you can go to our IT Institute public page and find some of that content, and we'll also put some links up in the show comments for you, but you know, because that's just one piece of it.
Correct.
Obviously, then it moves on to, you know, middle tier and moves on to other things, right?
Right. And so, you know, the first baby step was consolidating the app publishing, mm-hmm. and what that allowed us to do from an IT perspective was bring in certain standards. Like, we have policies that we follow around privacy. I mean. Mm-hmm. We're a global organization. We have employees literally in almost every country in the world, and they all have different privacy rules. So privacy, supportability are huge for us. So one of the first things we said we wanted to do in the certification was make sure that they had a common about box, that they had appropriate disclosure of the capabilities that were being used by the app on the device, that there was a privacy statement that an employee could review.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we started asking developers to implement that, we realized pretty quickly, well, that was kind of hard, and we were getting inconsistent implementations. Mm-hmm. So I'm an engineer.
Right.
We turned to Microsoft Visual Studio, both their template capability and the NuGet extensions that can be added. And we developed a NuGet package that would allow us to insert a consistent about box, as well as the prompting and disclosure for privacy that's required. And that was kind of the start of how we went from app publishing, and now we're servicing components to developers.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't stop there. As we saw more and more apps, because we're this central publishing process,
mm-hmm.
we saw patterns and practices and challenges that developers had that would cause them to spend a lot of time essentially reinventing the wheel every time. Authentication is a great example.
Oh, that is, yeah.
Being able to implement single sign-on, or just being able to figure out how to connect to your mid-tiers or back-ends, it was very challenging for every group.
Yeah.
So we built a community, we learned and looked at patterns out of that, and then we're capturing those in both Visual Studio templates and additional NuGet packages.
Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, every time when we talk about these things mm-hmm. here on the show, the next logical question is, that's great,
yeah,
Microsoft.
Right.
You did
yeah.
all that work,
correct.
Right? That's wonderful. How
mm-hmm.
do I get that? How do I learn about that? You know, and so I know that we're going to be doing some work in the future mm-hmm. To release some white papers and some other materials. But in the meantime, what's really the best place for people to understand these patterns and practices as we release some of those materials publicly?
Well, first, I think that if I were an IT pro, I would ground myself in the technology. And there are plenty of really good white papers and case studies we have around, for example, Windows Intune or System Center Configuration Manager. Mm-hmm. They're the foundation of our mobile device management and app distribution infrastructure. For a developer, there are a lot of really good resources in terms of, at the Dev Center, they have the MSDN libraries, et cetera. And there are a lot of good discussions that you can find out there related to line of business applications. Mm-hmm. But we don't necessarily stop there. We try to facilitate that community internally as well. And it's less the content is what we're finding and more the discussion.
That's very interesting.
The other interesting thing that happened once we became, I call it the publisher of record internally, all of a sudden application publishers would turn to us when they had questions. Mm-hmm. So from an IT value perspective, what we add back out to the developer community is being able to have that communication channel. Recently with Windows 10 coming out, a lot of our activity these days is looking at the new features, understanding what it means to be moving your applications to Windows 10, or taking your existing apps and having them run on Windows 10, and being able to engage with the community on that. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we distribute that knowledge in a very efficient manner. So the dialogue's as important.
I think that's really important for IT professionals in particular, right, and IT management to understand, is that the conversations that we can drive from IT and from these central processes is really about knowledge sharing and being able to programatize, if you will, that knowledge sharing in a consistent way, encourage, you know, people giving feedback and working things out, you know, crowdsourcing and social development and these sorts of things are happening for a reason, and they apply to engineering as well, don't you think?
Right, and I think social technologies are really important in that, because being able to have a Yammer community group where we can actually have an intelligent discussion and being able to have people respond and ask questions, those sort of technologies have helped a lot. The days when we used to rely on an email alias became very disconnected, and nobody ever had the archive to go back and learn. So there's a lot of value that the actual IT pros get out of it, in addition to the developer, which is we're really focused on driving down the cost and time to develop and manage these apps. The new paradigm for modern apps is we don't do a waterfall plan and update the app every year or every 6 months. You put it out there, users provide feedback, we collect analytics, and then we need to respond, because if we don't respond, the perception is the app is stale, they don't care. And therefore, you get into that virtuous cycle of putting it out there, getting feedback, and updating. And that requires a lot of iteration. Making that iteration cycle really optimal and efficient is what we tend to focus on these days.
And aren't you helping both business managers, IT pros, and the developers to really prioritize the scenarios they're going after? Because what I just heard from you is, you know, minimum viable product and this rapid iteration and agility that's required, that requires some dedication and some focus. You can't spread your resources too thin. Otherwise, you won't meet this new bar, this perception that you need to have with users, right? I mean,
that's really insightful. And I think one of the interesting things that we learned is, you know, at our company, we have this renewed focus on data science and analytics. And so one of the things that we implemented in the Dev Center is the injection of analytics into each application. Originally, that was just intended to give the business owner some idea of how many users are actually running their app. Mm-hmm. Because in the MDM world, I can push the app. And if I push it to 40,000 PCs, that doesn't tell me who's using it.
No.
And the MDM can collect, oh, it's installed on all these devices, but it doesn't tell me that who's using it. So those analytics are really important in understanding, is the app being successful? Is it constantly being used by a user, or is it they run it once and go away? But in addition, because we're the publisher of record, we're now starting to looking at my overall app portfolio and taking the analytics and not just ranking the apps, but looking at, okay, here's an app that's really not being used or not performing well. Do we help that app team improve it so that it's more acceptable to users, or okay, maybe it needs to be retired. Or even more important, you know, the big hot button for a lot of enterprises is shadow apps.
Yes, of course. I
boldly claimed when we implemented all of the app publishing and locked it, so you had to go through our process, that there were no more shadow apps, because at least we see them being published. And now that we have analytics, I can look at an app and say, wow, this has a lot of users, but that engineering team that used to be there, they're not associated with it anymore, and therefore you have some risk. Yeah. And so those are the things that we're starting to look at that are really exciting for an enterprise.
This is such a rich space, and I know that this conversation is only, you know, scratching the surface of many of these issues. And so we hope that you come back and join us for the series that we're going to do, deep diving into all these topics that Brad is sharing with us today, because app analytics, the middle tier work, patterns and practices, approaching this from a business standpoint in terms of agile IT and resource allocation, all these things are going to be really important to enterprises. You know, one of the exciting things for me about working here is that we're on the bleeding edge of these things, but that does cause us some pain sometimes. So what would you tell the IT pros and then the associated dev community around the gotchas? Like, what would be the top few gotchas that people should be thinking about as they start to wade into this? Because my feeling is we're ahead of other people sometimes.
Yeah, that is true.
And, you know, how can we help them not feel the same pain that we did?
Well, even internally today, we have teams that haven't necessarily 100% embraced modern applications. And that's partially because, you know, you live in a budget-constrained environment. Honestly, this agile development methodologies and being able to have more relaxed control over your data, being able to relax the development processes is threatening to some.
Yeah.
But I would say the biggest risk or challenge that I see is not trying. Because the whole methodology that we have, the paradigm of releasing an app and being able to evolve it by listening to customers, that's really added a lot of value in terms of being able to actually deliver ROI. Because the old models are, you would plan for 6 months, you would then maybe listen, and therefore, your ability to meet the new aggressive business cycles and respond to the changes in the market is very low. So I think the biggest risk is not trying. The other thing that we have learned that I think is interesting that kind of helps mitigate that is we do provide managed services through our team. We offer the ability to develop applications. A business customer can come to us and we'll negotiate the development of an app. But what we do internally is we take these patterns and practices through Visual Studio, and we have a default template that in a matter of a couple of clicks, I lay down a brand new line of business app that has single sign-in, has all of the IT policies and procedures for the about boxes and supportability, so that we can focus on the data connections, we can focus on the user experience, and therefore, there are ways to get economies of scale and bring down the cost and increase agility. It's just, you've got to look for those patterns and practices. And having that central publishing, you know, like I said, it's an odd place to start, but that's what gives you the visibility and insights.
That's great. Yeah. You know, I love that sentiment of not trying being the biggest gotcha, because a lot of people, I think, are overwhelmed by the information and by the changes, and so there are a little bit, you know, just kind of stopping and seeing what's happening. But, you know, we're committed here at the show to making sure that you get some real-world information about how to deal with these changes. And it's thought leaders like Brad and other people that we want to bring to you to share their experience and hopefully provide you some encouragement as you go through the process. So, Brad, I really want to thank you. This is a great conversation. I always learn a lot anytime I'm around you. And that's always a really good thing.
Thanks for having me. I mean, it's been an interesting 5 years in the mobility space, and there's just a lot to communicate about it. We've learned so much, and yet things are evolving so fast, there's always something new to learn.
Yeah. And there's always something great to talk about. And so in our series that'll be upcoming, we're going to continue on in that conversation. We love talking with you here at Real World IT. Chat with us on Twitter. Put comments in the box. Give us suggestions about other topics that you'd like to see. We're here to help you and to share our information. So thanks for watching another episode of Real World IT, and we'll see you again soon.
Yep. Thank you.